So you want to learn to bow hunt, huh? Well, I've partnered with Mountain Ops to bring back the lift, run, shoot experience, and I am inviting you to join us this year in Austin, Texas. Hosting us May 3rd through the 5th is Archery Country Pro Shop in Austin, and included in the ticket price is an all-new Hoyt Alpha X bow, along with a dozen Easton arrows, my signature Speedland running shoes, a full optics package, a bino harness, GORUCK plate carrier, a Grizzly 45 quart cooler, an Origin Raptor kit, and of course, a fat stack of Mountain Ops supplements. Not only do you get geared out to hunt, you get education on all things bow hunting. Go Hunt will even be there giving you guidance on the tag system in your state and other state opportunities to hunt. It will be a one-of-a-kind weekend with yours truly, and I can't wait to see you all there. For a limited time, we are offering listeners of the podcast 10% off of your ticket prices using code LRSAUSTIN, that's for Lift, Run, Shoot Austin, and to find details on the event, go to mountainops.com. I cannot say enough good things about the guys over at Montana Knife Company. I've been using their knives in the mountains for the past 3 years, and I've been nothing but impressed. They're an American company, their knives are made here in America, and their master bladesmith, Josh Smith, is one of the best knife makers out there. Their culinary cutlery is some of the best I've used, even though I don't use it because I don't cook, but I do use it when I'm eating. But I do know any cook would likely love them in their kitchen. I'm proud to partner with the guys over at Montana Knife and looking forward to some cool new products we're working on collaborating on in the coming months. Head over to MontanaKnifeCompany.com today and use code CAM for free shipping.
Every step I take, I move my truth. Every time they tell me stop, I use. Every comment, hate, that makes my fuel. Gather up my energy and boom, I hear them talking, saying the way that I move is so reckless. That is a part of my mind I've been blessed with. Giving my blood, so I am relentless.
All right. That was kind of like a... wasn't really a... That's the start of the show. This is a Keep Hammering Collective. It's sort of a weekend update, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
I mean, well, we'll include Monday.
Yeah.
So we can, yeah.
Long weekend update.
Right. And man, some crazy stuff going on.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have some things on your mind.
I do, yeah. I have some things to ask you, some things to get through.
Okay.
I don't want to make a big deal of this, but I think I'm the first repeat guest.
Ooh, are you?
I think so.
Gideon is a repeat.
The King of the Hobbits is the first repeat.
Well, you know what? Trace read to me in the Bible this morning something about, I guess Gideon was a badass.
Well, I'm falling short of that, but
well, so I learned something because of your name.
Well, there you go.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So yeah, we got the Gideon repeat. And yeah, it's an honor to have you here twice.
All right. Well, let's jump into this. Obviously, this weekend, some big news. A first happened with mm-hmm. Jasmine Paris being the first woman to finish the Barkley Marathons.
We spoke to the first woman to ever finish the grueling Barkley Marathons. This year was Paris's third attempt at finishing. Last year, she made history as the first woman to complete Loop 4, but she missed that cutoff time, so she came back this year determined to finish.
What do you think about that?
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been so hard. And I read that because I think three people finished last year, that Laz changed the course, made it even tougher. And then five people, including the first woman, finished the Barclays Marathon, or Barkley Marathons, I think is how they say it. I don't know why, but it's one of those is plural. Either way, whether it's one or many, it's hard.
Yeah.
A woman, and I, you know, some of the best ultra runners in the world have attempted it, and to get Jasmine to finish the first time, I think I don't know what country she's from. She's not from here.
I couldn't tell. I mean, every post I saw about her, she wasn't even tagged. So I'm not sure she has an Instagram even.
Yeah. That shouldn't count then. I mean, if you can't brag on it on social media, I mean, does it count?
Yeah. I mean, what makes it so hard?
It's the, and again, I haven't done it. I've watched the documentaries. I've talked to Courtney about it. It's the navigation. So, and in that country, it's not like out west where you have like peaks you can orientate yourself right. to and or drainages. I mean, there's drainages, but there's no big visuals to use. And then if it gets so, you can imagine being in the timber or in the woods and there's nothing that really stands out. and you have to go and find these books that are hidden in a roughly 20-mile loop is what I understand it. So it's supposed to be 5 20-mile loops. But I've heard also that it's close to, or 120 to 130 miles. And so there's no real, I'm sure somebody knows, but the runners don't know. Anyway, you do these five loops and you got to find the, I think, 12 books per loop that are in just random places. And there's no map of the race, or they have a map. You can't use any phone. You can't use like an Onyx. You can't use anything that's going to tell you where you're at. You have to make your own map on paper based off the main master map. And then that's what you go by. And so then you're out there, and obviously if you made your own map, it's not to scale, or it's not, right, you know, it's hard to get contour lines. So that part, the navigating part, and then the country's pretty rugged. It's steeper than you might imagine in Tennessee, and brushy, a lot of thorns. I see people get their legs and arms torn up. There's a 60-hour time limit, and I think she came through with 99 seconds left. I mean, barely, yeah. But she did get the finish and is just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the photos of her touching that yellow gate, and mm-hmm. I mean, she looked like those were the last steps she had to give.
Oh man. Yeah. So tough. Yeah. I mean, and she's getting a lot of attention, and she should, because I know, but also before I delve into that topic of her, there's still four other people who did it, which, yeah, man, right, they kicked ass. That run, that race is not easy. And then for her, I mean, Laz, I saw a clip yesterday where Laz was saying he doesn't think a woman will ever finish it. It's too tough for women. And he's like, he's just going to keep saying that until somebody proves him wrong. You know, it's kind of like it's sort of like motivation, yeah, for, right, women.
Right.
Because these women that do this are not normal. They're freaking beasts, tough. You know, you can't get in that race at all unless you're, you know, elite. So, it takes the best of the best. And then she stood out, was the first one to do it. So I'm sure he loved it. You know, he was, you know, doing a little goading and saying too tough for a woman, but he wanted to see it, I'm sure. Right. I don't know him, but I'm guessing. And that was, you know, just enough to push people. And I don't know if she used that as motivation, probably not, because you have to have your own internal motivation to do things like that. But so impressed with her finish, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one of the guys, that's like his fourth time finishing.
Really?
I think Jared. Yeah. Yeah. He's a 4-time finisher, which is, I guess, the most out of anyone.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah.
Well, while I was on the kind of running rabbit hole of Instagram, I came across somebody named the Hardest Geezer, who's running the length of Africa, has been running for, I think, 300 and maybe 40 days.
Right.
Something like that.
I've been following along on his journey too. Just a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got like red hair, red beard.
Yeah.
And he, you know, that's not even across Africa. Most people, like even when they do the US, I mean, I guess the US across is a long way, but in Africa, across would be shorter. I'm almost certain, but he's going the length of it, which is crazy amount of distance. I can't even remember do you remember how far? Was it 7,000 miles?
It's something ridiculous. And I know he followed the West Coast and then even kind of into that where Africa juts out. He didn't just take a straight line. No. So, yeah.
No, that's incredible what he's doing. And with not near the fanfare of, you know, if you run across America, a lot of people pay attention. Or when Ned Brockman, one of my earlier guests, he ran across Australia and he got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
It's like Africa, I don't know if it's, I don't know. Maybe he is getting a lot of coverage. I haven't seen it, but maybe in other places he is, but it seems like not as many people are keeping track of it, and it's incredible.
Maybe because it's been going on for almost a year.
You know, we're with social media, you know, our attention span is like, what, 7 seconds, they say? So, 300 days, it's going to be tough. I mean, he's, just incredible. That, I mean, just to get up every day and know that it's going to be this long of a grind.
Oh.
I mean, because even to run across America, I think the record is 42 days. It'd be easier to be like, okay, I got to be on my A game for a little over a month.
Right.
It's doable, but a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, I saw he posted the other day, days, I think 330 through 337, and he was still running like 76 kilometers a day, which I don't know what that comes out to in miles, but probably like 50 plus.
Well, 100K is 60 miles.
62 miles.
62.
Yeah.
So I don't know. 50 miles probably.
Yeah.
I could figure it out, but yeah, I mean, even if it's 50 miles. So, well, I can do it in my head. So 50 miles is
7.6 times 6 would give you the 60%.
Okay. So yeah, it'd be a little under 50 maybe.
Yeah. I think just shy of 50.
Yeah. That's a good effort.
Yeah.
Especially in Africa.
Yeah.
It's usually, I don't know. I mean, you're going to get some hot times if you go for the whole year. There might be some better times, but even in the winter, you got the monsoons that come through.
Yeah.
Or in their winter. And then the heat, brutal.
Yeah.
Stud.
Well, along the lines of running across things, someone else who has been drumming up some controversy, Paul Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. I have checked in on him. I think, and, you know, it's a weird time these days. I mean, because I saw people that were pretty critical of him, and they're saying, because what I gathered is he was going to go for the record of running across America.
Follow me across the United States on foot, attempting to break the world record by crossing in only 40 days.
And the record was 42 days. So the critics are saying that, yeah, he said he was going after the world record, and that's how he drummed up interest and sponsorships and, you know, donations. I don't know. And then 4 days into the run, the 42 day run, if he's in fact going after the record, 4 days into it, he recalibrated and said, not going after the record anymore. Can't do it. Now it's just about raising money for charity, which is a great charity. I think it's RWB, I believe it is. And it's for veterans. So great charity, but people were upset because gave up on what he billed as the world record chase, gave up on it so quick, because if you're 4 days in to a 42 day run, you know, you just got started. That's like quitting, you know, 5 miles in or 10 miles into a 100 mile race.
Right.
It's like, I've run the first 10 miles don't even matter. You know, if you feel good, feel bad, it doesn't matter. You got 90 miles figured out. Well, first 4 days of that, whatever, whether you felt good or felt bad, really doesn't matter. You're going to have plenty of time to make up for it. So to just throw in the towel that quick, that's what got people's attention. It was like saying, well, was this a publicity stunt just to get money?
Right.
Because if you just say that, it's different. If you say you're going after the record, people are looking at it and following it way differently than if you say, I'm doing this run for charity.
Yeah. I mean, I think he just crossed halfway, and I don't know how many days he's at, but he's past where he should be as far as the amount of days he's taken to get to halfway. So
I mean, he's behind record schedule. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I saw, it was kind of weird for me. I kind of checked in. I saw this guy was made this video, you know, kind of talking shit about him and just the whole thing. And I was like, I didn't know that much about it. So I listened to the video and I thought, oh, I could kind of see that. I mean, that makes sense to me a little bit. I could see why people might wonder what the motives were, you know, by changing so fast. And so then I started, you know, checking in on Paul. That's what controversy does. They say, you know, any coverage is good coverage or whatever they say. And it caused me to go look at what he's doing. So it worked in that regard. And then I saw where he was like talking about the haters a lot, which, you know, I have too. So I was like, well, fuck, that's me a little bit. But anyway, he says he's going to take his GPS tracking watches and put them on the outside of his jacket to fuck with the haters. And I was like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah.
If you're doing it, you know, and it's all legit, because I think people were questioning whether his heart rate matched his cadence, like, and was he getting in a van or was, well, I don't know what, and taking a drive and then keeping the watch going, or somebody else is wearing the watch, and maybe that's why it didn't, you know, that's how he was getting the miles during the day. And maybe there are some shenanigans going on. So instead of just saying, no, here's my data, here it all is, he doubles down on on, do I have something to hide by putting the watches on the outside of the jacket? And he says, just to screw with the haters. It's just like, well, if you're legit, just show your data.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that alienates his supporters too, because now they have nothing to point to. Like, look, the data is okay.
Yeah. And now you just fucked that up. So it's like, didn't make much sense to me. But part of this also is, you know, when I'm in the middle of a long endurance event, and I've never done anything like this, but, you know, when I've run 200 miles, if I'm halfway in it, I'm probably not making great decisions. So if he's the one making these decisions on, I'm going to put my watch on the outside of my jacket, and he's been going for 3 weeks,
yeah,
he's probably not making the best mental decisions.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, but hopefully somebody who is pretty clear thinking is helping him make decisions. But I don't know. That was weird to me. I just didn't really get what the point was, because as you said, you got people who do believe you and believe in right. you. Give them something to point to say, okay, see? And normally if you do that, you don't even have to say anything. Your right. followers or your supporters will do the fighting for you. But now you're taking away any tool they had to argue on your behalf.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be interesting to see the rest of his run. And now I guess the data will be incomplete when he gets to the end. But
I really don't get it, unless he has wouldn't think he's wearing three watches, but he had two and they're both on the outside of his jacket, which I don't get it. I mean, it just, whatever. I mean, if you're going to run 3,000 miles, give your best effort. Don't give up on the record.
Yeah.
Because who knows? Maybe the second half he feels incredible and maybe right. he makes back up, but he already said he gave up. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he could get back in the game, but also critics might say, well, because when you go for the record, you have to have all that data, right? Otherwise, it's not going to count.
Right.
Guinness Book or whoever's keeping track of it will want to look at all that. So when you say you're not going for the record now it doesn't really matter. So now even if you, and I'll just play devil's advocate, even if you cheat, you could just say, well, look how much money I gained right. for this charity. Or, right. you know, I mean, I did this and here's a positive from it. But is there shenanigans going on? Because now you can say, well, it's not about the record. So now do you get in the van? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why put that doubt? You could have just squelched all that. So I don't know. Part of me, I could argue both sides.
Right.
And see points on both sides. I hope it's legit. It's an impressive, definitely an impressive accomplishment if he can get across, you know, cover 3,000 miles right. and I don't care how long.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, props for that, but I don't know, the circumstances and the way he's addressed different criticisms, it doesn't make sense to me, but.
No, didn't make sense to me either. Along those lines, do you think, you know, responding to a hit piece is better than just letting it be? Or even, you know, responding to cancel culture, you know, I mean.
If people are just talking shit about me, just in general, just like, oh, I can't, he's a douchebag, whatever. I'm just like, okay, fine. When people lie, like Matt Ranella lied about me, said I was hunting drugged up elk on beta blockers or this or that. Okay, well, that's just stupid. And I did respond to that because yeah. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you talk shit, but don't lie.
Yeah.
And so I think if it's just normal shit talking, no, just let it go, because that's always going to happen. And it's harmless. Who gives a fuck what they say? But if they're making up lies, and then, of course, I know it's a lie, but other people reading it, they don't know. So I have to address that.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier to focus on the negative than it is on the positive. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not doing background checks on every person I see on there, or every person that I take a nugget from, and it's like, oh, okay, that's seems like pretty solid advice. Of course, any person, unless you're Jesus. You're going to be crucified.
Yeah.
And even he was crucified. So,
I mean, that is, it's interesting. You know, can you not listen to the positive things people say just because of the negative things that mm-hmm. people assume they've done? You know, does that mean we have to discredit everything they've done that's positive in the world?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not trying to insert myself in anything, but I got people who follow me who don't hunt, don't get why hunting or killing animals, but still are motivated or inspired by the active lifestyle, the running, the lifting. And so, yeah, they're able to ignore the hunting part, which they don't understand, right, and just take what they do understand or what they can use for themselves. And I mean, isn't that how we all should be? And I know that, it'd be a moral dilemma on some certain things for certain people on, regarding different topics, but that's just the way the world goes. I mean, that's part of being human.
Yeah. Well, with your lifestyle, I've noticed you're wearing a new hoodie. Did we just drop a new merch launch?
Yeah, this one smells kind of like BO, actually, I think.
I don't think they can smell through the cameras.
Oh, they can't? It's not a scratch and sniff? Yeah, they're not watching. It's like going... So it's the all black collection, and it's it goes along the theme with that truck I'm giving away, the TRX, the What You Do in the Dark Matters. And also, so there's a couple different versions of maybe to explain that meaning. We are taught to fear the dark, but for me, I thrive there. Knowing most people are warm in their bed sleeping while I'm out there grinding has always driven me to work hard and to outlast the rest. What you do in the dark matters. So ask yourself, are you doing enough? My team and I wanted to put more meaning behind this year's truck giveaway and spark the ember that starts the fire. We need your help turning it into a wildfire and sharing hashtag what you do in the dark because it matters. Keep hammering. So as part of it is, you know, when people have full-time jobs and they still got to earn that edge, they still got to put in the work, that has to happen at night sometimes. You know, it's we're just getting out of winter where the nights are long, the days are short. So to get our miles in or push the weights like we need to, it's going to have to happen in the dark. So that's kind of what I do. A lot of running at night after everybody goes to bed. I love out grinding on the streets when everybody's in their house sleeping, because I feel like, okay, yeah, you fucking pussies, look at me. I'm out here working, you're chilling, watching TV or sleeping. So mentally it gave me it's always given me an edge. But another meaning to that, what you do in the dark matters is, you know, the darkness of life, the different seasons in life. We go through challenges and it's how we respond to those challenges. So when you go put your head down, get to work, address it, move on, do whatever you got to do, that's how we get through those low points, the dark seasons of our life. I hate that word seasons. I don't know why I used it. I guess I'm an influencer, but you go through these dark seasons of your life and then you come out and you reach the mountaintop again. But that only happens through work and through just, you know, doing hard things. So that's what it means to me, that what you do in the dark matters. It's like, yeah, everybody's going to face these trials and tribulations in life. And how we respond to it is going to determine our future. We can just wallow in pity and misery and probably not a lot's going to change. Or we can just say, yeah, this happened. Fuck it. I got to get to work and I'm going to dig my way out of this.
Right.
And so that's what the tagline means to me. It's both meanings, but to me, it's like, hey, everybody's been kicked in the nuts. What are you going to do? You're going to keep going. You know, it's hard to brush off a kick in the nuts. But
first you're going to double down, yeah, or double over in pain.
Right. After that, once that pain subsides.
After you puke.
Yeah. What are you going to do? And you just got to get to work. And so, that's what it means to me. And we got, you know, sweet hoodies, hats, T-shirts. Anyway, it's just kind of cool. And then also, I can't wait to give away this truck. And people, you know, I don't expect everybody to pay attention to everything I do, but I get people commenting, oh, what happened to the other truck? It's like, well, I fucking made 10 posts about it. I gave it away in 10,000 cash. And the guy came out, got it. It was awesome. Super pumped to give him the keys and the cash. And it was incredible. And yeah, you missed it. So yeah, we're giving away this truck to Then I saw somebody else said something like, "How is this going to be another year long giveaway?" Which the other one was 120 days. So I know it seems like a long time to everybody if you're waiting to win a truck. But this one, I decided to cut it back because, you know, I don't even know how the final numbers worked out. I don't really care if it makes money. It doesn't, whatever. That's not the objective. The objective for me is just to give back, do something cool, change somebody's life, essentially, because even if you don't want the truck, you can sell that rig and, you know, you're going to get, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, I think it's a $120,000 truck. So you could sell it for 80 for sure. And then I'm giving you 10 also, you should give it $90,000 in cash. And that's what I want to do. I want to give back. And so I'm doing it in 90 days this time. You buy a hat or a shirt. I think there's also, so people that don't know, these giveaways, there's laws and rules and guidelines. Some states don't allow it because I think they consider it like a lottery. And like in Florida, I don't think they allow it. But most states do. And it's just a way to give back. And it's like, you can, there's free entries. I think by entering your email, there has to be a free entry option. But also when I do certain, like the first week of the giveaway, every dollar you spent got you 10 entries. And so there's different things like that. But in general it's, you know, you buy a hoodie for whatever it is, $50, you get 50 points in and thrown in the entry pool to be drawn to win the truck. So just big picture, if you buy something, it increases your odds. If you don't, you still have a chance. Somebody's gonna win it in 90 days. And I'd like to welcome Grizzly Coolers to the sponsorship of not only the podcast, but my hunt lifestyle. I couldn't be more thrilled that they are an American-made company that supplies durable, hard-sided coolers and hunting blinds. As you guys know, the meat from every one of my hunts means the world to me, my family and friends. Meat storage and temperature control is of the utmost importance when transferring game from the hunt to your freezer, and there's nothing better than Grizzly products. The coolers are roto-molded, built for performance, field-tested, and guaranteed for a lifetime. Grizzly also has a wide variety of gear for all your outdoor adventure and training needs. Followers of the podcast get an exclusive 20% off of everything using code KEEPHAMMERING at grizzlycoolers.com upon checkout. Again, that's use code KEEPHAMMERING at checkout. Black Rifle Coffee is celebrating a decade of coffee in 2024. They're the only coffee I drink, and supporting them is supporting veterans and the outdoor community. One of my favorite packages that I get on a monthly basis is a Black Rifle Coffee Club exclusive coffee roast. The only way you can get it is if you subscribe to the coffee club, and this month's coffee is a full-bodied roast, and it comes from the jungles of Brazil. Pink 79. The exclusive coffee club subscription gives you nothing but the best. It's a coffee of the month club where you get premium roasts from the best farms worldwide. Black Rifle Coffee is America's coffee. It's veteran owned and operated. They support hunting and conservation and give back immensely to the veteran community. They're offering followers of the podcast 20% off on your first purchase to the coffee club or order on their site using code KEEPHAMMERING to get America's coffee today. And I can't wait. We'll fly you out here. If you want to try to carry that fucking rock up the hill, I'll let you do that. But in general, all I want to do is I want to give you the keys to that TRX. It's a badass truck. I want to give you $10,000 in cash, and that's going to make me smile. And that's all I care about.
And just to make sure, employees can't win that truck.
I can't believe I pay you already. I mean,
well, we figured this out on the last one. This is an internship.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're an intern. Yeah. Then you can win it.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. No, it's a cool giveaway, and we're not done yet. You know, I mean, that's not, we're just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
I'd love to give away a truck every month.
Yeah.
To be honest,
That'd be awesome.
I would love it. I feel lucky to be able to do this. I feel lucky to have the influence I have, and I'm just trying to, you know, kind of dodge and weave those hit pieces as they come. All right. So this podcast is, you know, a little bonus podcast. It's basically a weekend or week update of what's going on in the news. And We've had a couple hits and a couple misses, I think, on what we're talking about here. The hits were Jasmine Paris, first female finisher at Barkley Marathon. Incredible. That was a hit. A miss was Paul Johnson. Not his effort. His effort has been incredible, but just how he's went about this whole run across America, TransCon. And I thought a little bit of what he's done has been a miss, but a lot of positives, a lot of things I can't take away, his fundraising and all that, and plus a big effort of running across 3,000 or running 3,000 miles across the country is incredible. So, I mean, nothing but props there. But a little clunky on how he went about it. And then another hit that I would categorize would be... the hardest geezer, who's just still kicking ass, running the length of Africa, plus kind of around the west side. So just crushing it.
I saw that.
Yeah, hardest geezer, beast. So that was a hit. So we had hit, miss, hit. And then the last is something you brought up to me today. And what was that?
Well, why am I here?
You're here because you wanted to bring this up because you saw this in the news.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. No, I saw it on the gram.
On the gram, yeah.
Just something people have been talking about is that New York Magazine, Huberman, and I thought you might want to bring it up because you're mentioned by it in name, Christian Bowhunter, Cameron Haynes. What's your, any takes on it, or it seems to be a pretty popular issue right now.
God, yeah, all hit pieces are usually generally popular. That's why they do them, right? I have a lot of thoughts on it. I have a lot of thoughts for sure. I don't know if I'll get to everything I'd like to say. I just, I saw the piece. I saw I was mentioned, and I thought that was interesting how they mentioned that. Just the...
Why the descriptor at the front? Why a Christian bow hunter?
Yeah, because that's how they separate people into different categories. If you're a Christian, if you're conservative, if you're, even being a patriot turned into a negative here over the last three or four years. They can put people in this group, and that group is like red pill type people, the conspiracy theories, Christian conservative, just like we said. And then on the other side is the leftists. The liberal media, the legacy media kind of controls that. And that's where a magazine like New York Magazine came in with their section of the magazine called The Intelligencer. And that's where they covered Andrew Huberman in a pretty blatant hit piece, a one-sided hit piece, actually. And so, yeah, I saw it was mentioned.
So the hit piece aside, obviously it's super negative for Huberman in the article if you read it. But what's your... I mean, you've hung out with him. How is he?
Mm-hmm.
How's he been to you and your interactions with him?
Yeah, I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's really all the only way you can judge somebody, right? Your personal interactions with them. And, I don't know, it's when you write an article like that, it seems like it started off, I think it was supposed to be a fluff piece to start off because they want to latch on to Huberman and his success. And he doesn't need a magazine to cover him. He's got, millions of people following him. So I don't know if there was, they didn't respond or I don't know what happened, but it went from a fluff piece into a hit piece. And then you can find negative on pretty much anybody. But as far as me and what I know about Andrew, he's been nothing but respectful, kind, generous, been here at the family. Ate, we shared meals, worked out, had a great podcast. And, I think that article covered maybe previous relationships. I'm not sure when this was. As we talked about, he has been taking the path down the journey of faith and, reading the Bible in the morning and different things like that. Maybe this is part of just personal growth. I don't know. And maybe I don't know what's true or not, what's not, to be honest. I haven't talked to him. I haven't asked him, but I just know that, there's nobody walking this earth that's perfect. including me. And I just don't like hit pieces like that, that just latch onto this, take this negative tone, negative direction, and just in general, a way trying to cancel somebody, or maybe not even cancel somebody, but just do what they did. We're talking about it. So they got what they wanted. They got the attention they wanted. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's weighing in on it. And that's, I mean, media companies like this and like magazines and like TV shows, they use this clickbait. They use these crazy headlines because they're dying. They're dying.
No, I mean, it makes sense why, if I'm the magazine, it makes sense why I would do something like this, because obviously people are going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The motive and the intent is there. You take a big name, you shit on them. People are going to want to know why. Mm-hmm. And they, because everyone respects them.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed though is, you know, this slam piece comes out, they're taking all these shots at him. The next day or 2 days later, Huberman posts just a science video, back to business as usual, mm-hmm. just doing his thing, still talking about science, how to make things, how to make your life a little better. And it's like, that's professional.
Yeah. I mean, I respect that, because a normal dipshit like me would want to lash back out and make a post and, you know, say people are full of shit, say this is a lie, this is that. What about this person? Did you look into that person who's saying these things about me? That's what I would do. I would stoop to their level.
It's hard not to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what he's done is, you know, what he does, what he loves to do, which is share his knowledge of science. And so if he's back to that, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have a response. The article was one-sided. Seemed like a lot of hearsay, or, I mean, I know they mentioned text, but God, you could send me some crazy text and I could change your name and my phone to Andrew, take a screenshot and say, look what Andrew Huberman sent me. I mean, text don't mean anything. And this isn't like any laws were broken. There's nothing crazy happened. No assaults, nothing like that. I mean, you would think that if they want to get dirt on somebody, I mean, what they had was pretty tame.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
Well, I mean, I don't know nothing about nothing, but they're not discrediting his science or his, his everything that he studied and all that. And there's no discrediting any of that. It's just like, they have to dig up some, just
relationships,
whatever they can. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It really doesn't. I just don't even think it's relevant.
I don't think it's worthy of an 8,000 word article about somebody just basically mudslinging, but, you know, I don't know. I know relationships can be tough, and I don't want to discount the feelings that any woman may have had, you know, heartbreak hurts, and somebody breaks up with you, it's not fun. It's painful. So I get it. I don't want to discount any of that. You know, I just don't like the way they went about exposing whatever in a negative tone, in a way to what feels like tear down somebody who's been very accomplished, who has made a huge positive impact on society. And I just don't like it. But you know, as we've talked about, my interactions have all been positive. So of course I'm going to be a little biased, you know?
I mean, no, that's all you can base a man off of.
Yeah.
You can hear whatever from anybody. People talk shit about people all the time.
Yeah.
And people talk shit about like my friends or me or whatever. And it's like, if just base it off of an interaction with them, it's different.
Yeah. And, I'm not going to throw stones at people just because I live in a glass house myself. So I don't want stones coming back at me. It's a little bit frustrating to read. And I saw Lex Fridman had a nice post about Huberman. He knows Huberman much better than I do. They've worked together a lot. And so that's another one who's had personal interactions with him and, you know, shared that. And so I don't know. I'm not a fan of the tactic personally, but I guess it was effective for New York Magazine.
No, that's I don't know. That's the right take on it, I think. Mm-hmm. Good insight. So what's on the agenda for the rest of the week, or what's big coming up? What should people look out for?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got the Bert Kreischer just sent me a text and announced the 5K in May.
Hey, what? are you guys going to run our 5K?
Wait, is it a specific place or just wherever you are? I want to bike it.
5K by May.
Where is it?
Jelly Roll's doing it. Cam Haines is doing
it. Is it a specific place or just anywhere?
We're gonna do a 5K.
So that's exciting.
Where's that at?
That down in Pasadena. And I think he said May. Did I say the date?
I don't remember.
May 7th. Tuesday, May 7th, 9 a.m. at the Rose Bowl. So that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be electric.
I can't wait. So that's cool.
And then Cheeto's coming, isn't he?
Cheeto's going to come on the podcast. That's exciting.
It'll be a good one. He's savage.
Oh, such a stud. Right before UFC 300. So we're going to do the lift run shoot with Cheeto. And then we're all heading down to UFC 300 doing an Origin takeover. They're a big sponsor of the UFC now. So Jocko, Pete, I think a bunch of guys are going to be there. It's going to be fun. Kip.
Yeah. Kip. Uncle Kip.
I know. Uncle Kip. He's a beast. But yeah, that's coming up. And we got Speedland coming this week. So be on the lookout for some new shoes. That's exciting. I'll have some new shoes to share. And
I wanted to ask you, do you watch the new Roadhouse?
I did. Yeah.
What's your Rotten Tomatoes review?
Oh, man.
Oscar?
Connor's a handful on that one.
Best supporting actor?
Connor's a handful. Yeah, I mean, it was about what you'd expect. Over the top, pretty fun, good fight scenes. I mean, Jake and Connor got after it in the bar.
I saw a clip of them on Instagram doing the fake fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty damn real.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know how the screenwriting is. I didn't watch it.
I don't know. It was,
it's no Departed.
it's no Departed. But it was entertaining. I'll say that. And I was there for the fight when Jake, he was supposed to be a disgraced UFC fighter, right? So he killed a guy in the ring, I think, by going too far. I think that's how it happened. Now I can't even remember that part of the movie. But it
seems memorable.
Yeah. But I think he killed a guy in the octagon, and I was there because it's the middle of one big card, and they had Jake and the actor come out, all these different cameras. So there was like a 10-minute break during the normal UFC card, and they filmed this fight scene. And Jake was like, he was into it. He wanted to redo it. He's like, do it again. You know, they said, you know, they'd announce 2 more minutes or something like that. And he'd like spray himself down with the water bottle or the spray bottle, get back in there, just go, go, go. And I think him redoing the take a number of times, I think probably, because I was watching the whole time right there, I think the last take, the one where he just kind of tried to fit it in at the very end, was the one they used. So it's like, I was pretty impressed by how committed he was to that scene. And I think he was a producer of the movie actually too. Or, I mean, he had something to do with the making of it, not just acting. And you could tell he had a vested interest in it, and he cared about that scene, nailing it. So yeah, respect to him. He looked good, definitely in shape, freaking shredded. Connor looked just, you know, on all the Mexican supplements, just huge, jacked.
No, he's on creatine.
Oh, creatine. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it. Creatine and ashwagandha.
Well, whatever he's on, it worked, because he looks jacked in that thing. But, you know, always been a big Conor fan. Mostly just him in the UFC is what I want to see him back and at, you know, being a showstopper like he has been for most of his career.
I think it's kind of sick that, like, a dude from whatever small town Ireland, like, you know, going to go be UFC champ. He is. And then it's like what? That's making it. Like, the dude's in a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal now.
I know.
Starting from fighting. And it's like, and that guy's awesome.
I think I read that he was the highest paid, like, if that was, I don't know if it's a rookie. I don't know what they call a new actor. But their first role, he was the highest paid for a first-time actor, I think is what I read. That's impressive. So he's just been, you know, you think, you watch that old Connor documentary when he was living in the upstairs bedroom of his mom's house. And he was still talking like he was going to buy her a car, have nice cars. He was going to be, you know, UFC champion and talking just these crazy dreams. He's exceeded them.
That's manifesting.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to manifest that Connor comes on the podcast. Hopefully he hears this. I think you'd have a good time, Connor.
I know. I want to give him those Ireland colored Speedlands.
Oh yeah, you got custom shoes here.
Yeah. Come on, dog. Yeah, I know. I mean, hey, speak it into existence. He's been doing that his whole career. You know, he did it with this movie. He did it with everything that he's accomplished. And man, nothing but respect for how hard that guy has worked and how successful he's been. It's a crazy story from rags to riches and at the highest order. Love it.
I was curious. So you mentioned Barkley, the hardest geezer. We're coming up into running season. People would probably think that we talk about this all the time, but me and you really don't talk about like races or stuff coming up. So, I mean, you got anything big? Or what about like an unofficial big thing? Transcon.
Oh.
The oldest man to go Transcon.
Yeah.
Anything in the cards?
Man, I don't know. Well, I'm going to do the Eugene Marathon. We know that. I'm going to do, it's pretty tame. I'm going to do another ultra before the Eugene Marathon. I know it's another pretty tame one. I'm doing, the big thing is the 5K in May.
Oh yeah, Two Bears.
3.1 miles, nonstop. So, no, I mean, I'd like to, you know, Truett's been talking about, when he was just here, we talked about running across America. But I don't know, man, that's a big effort. So that the record is 42 days. I think we talked about that.
So now you're talking about records.
Break
the record
of
it?
No, I'm just saying that. So if the record's 42 days, you could plan for sure on spending, you know, 60 days. That's 2 months. You know,
Yeah. Well, we were watching that British dude, William.
Yeah. William, was it good?
Yeah.
Goody?
Yeah, something like that. There was an extra letter thrown in there, but I mean, their production of it, following along, I was watching all the vlogs of it. It's like, the dude's a savage.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big...
Oh, I know.
That's a big run.
Yeah, no, it's a huge effort. And that's why I'm not going to shit on this Paul Johnson too much. He's fucking doing it. I think he's on pace now for... Let me think. I think it was 37 days, and he's halfway.
Well, remember I showed you that clip in that British guy, Williams, where he was running for 20 days or something, and he was reading the comments, and his coach, Robbie?
I think it was Robbie.
Yeah, he was just like, dude.
Because he'd done it before too, Robbie had.
Yeah, and he was like, you can't be reading that. He's like, no one else is trying to do this.
Yeah.
He's like, you're the only one. And then by the end, the guy was running 60 miles a day. He was like, he got stronger the whole time.
Got in a groove, yeah. I mean, that's why I can't.
Good lesson to be learned.
Oh, I know. That's where, you know, this guy who's doing it right now, he is really deep in on the comments every day and always addressing it. So I think that's
I feel like you just got to ignore it.
I think so too. I think, you know, because he is kicking ass now. He started off, I think, a little behind what his announced schedule was going to be. So he got beat up for that a little bit. And it was mostly just because I think people were thinking that he wasn't respecting the challenge. He was talking about that it wasn't going to be that hard. And he, you know, I don't know. That's the feeling I get from the ultra or the endurance community is that, just didn't show respect to the challenge. But he's...
Well, man in the arena.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no shit. Yeah, he's out there doing it. So it's really easy for everybody to have an opinion.
Yeah.
But I do think, to your point, I do think that's some good advice. You can't be... I mean, when you're running 60, 70 miles a day, you can't be reading fucking comments. What are you doing?
No, I mean, you do that.
Yeah, I'm not running 60 or 70 miles a day, though. But if I was, it'd be all that energy... I mean, you're wasting it, even if it's mental energy, by reading negative stuff.
Emotional energy.
Yeah, mental, emotional. It's just, you got to be locked in on the effort because it's huge. It's a huge effort and it deserves respect. So, I mean, whatever. People people are critical on anybody doing big things. And so I mean, I don't want to be overly critical on Paul's effort because he is the man in the arena and deserves respect. So he's got it from me. But
so big things coming up, big podcast, Burt Kreischer's run, new shoes maybe. People have a lot to be excited about.
Yeah.
A lot of good content coming.
Yep. It's fun. This is, we've had a good time with this, and we had a couple different co-hosts on this one. We had James Gideon.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get used to me being on here.
You did a good job, James. You guys both do. I mean, you guys both are very good at this. So
I had to jump in for James this time. He had a big, disgusting zit, and he really didn't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
No. So I was like, fuck, all right, I'll do it.
I think it was because it was in, you know, it was right here in between his eyes, and he kept looking. So his eyes are a little crossed now from staring at that zit.
Yeah. I mean, it was gross.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross.
Hopefully his eyes go back to normal.
Yeah. I don't know. Any... Do you want to interject?
I can't defend myself.
There is a mic.
Turn on your mic as fast as possible.
This is on now.
Okay, so what do you got to say?
Everything they said is true.
All right. Well, I just want to thank James Gideon Williams, Tanner, Jonathan Haynes. Thank you for helping along on this weekly podcast, the weekly update, Hits and Misses. And it's been fun. We're going to keep kicking ass. Thank you guys for tuning in, and keep hammering. Leupold Optics has been providing my binoculars and eyewear for the last few years. I like that it's an Oregon company, and they make such high-quality glass. That's all I've really used. And if you can't find what you're hunting, it's going to be tough to kill. So Leupold Optics has really played an integral part in my success these last few years. Thank you, Leupold, for supporting the podcast. Mudwater is something I've been using daily since I started the podcast. It's supposed to be an alternative to coffee, but I actually add it to mine for some extra health benefits. It's got four functional mushrooms, and with only a little caffeine, and each ingredient was added for a purpose. Cacao and chai for a hint of caffeine and hot chocolate-like flavor. Lion's mane for focus. Cordyceps to promote natural energy. It's also Whole30 approved, 100% USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. Mudwater donates monthly to support psychedelic research and has since day one. They believe the country is in a mental health epidemic and that psychedelic-assisted therapy is one of the most effective tools we have to treat mental health conditions. Today, you get $20 off when you subscribe at mudwater.com/cam. You also get a free frother and a sample of their delicious coconut creamer. So go to mudwater.com/cam to get $20 off your subscription and your free frother. That's mudwater.com/cam.